Мейшана Нажаро!
Всак четвертик з'ютра разом заднього в місяці.
Важкі посипна жей.
Найбольші мецошульці.
П'яне невісте.
Антихерої.
Чорне овце.
С'єпі камермані.
Точні асисти.
Розігране нюне.
То са згоди, які їх пише жуляння.
З великими черками.
Ніко, ніко.
Гаоя.
Ніко, ніко.
Гаоя.
Ніко, ніко.
V oddaji Mešano na žaru predvajamo intervju s Paulom Ortizom, ki ga poznamo tudi pod imenom Jim Spanner. Z njim se je pogovarjal Ivan Cepanec. Pred intervjujem pa prisluhnimo pesmi Bad Code iz albuma At the Dreamer's Edge.
Hello, Paul. Welcome to Slovenia. This is your first time here. How are you feeling?
Apart from tour flu, it's great. Very friendly people, very cool city. Like, we sort of went and had a walk around earlier. A lot of really cool stuff to see. Mm-hmm. It was a good show. Great crowd, like, very open-minded. Yeah, we had a good one tonight.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, you bought a stone or something?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was going to be a secret for my girlfriend, but she probably won't hear this until after Christmas. Yeah, there was a guy selling really cool stones. It was like a hologram or something, mm-hmm. but in a stone. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would like to ask you, this is your first European tour, but not the first one with Jim Spanner, right?
This is the first European tour with Jim Spanner. Mm-hmm. I played sort of one-off shows with Jim Spanner in Germany before. We did Euroblast 2 years running. Uh-huh. And I toured Europe with Monuments last year as a kind of fill-in second guitarist, but this is the first time that we've actually taken Jim Spanner on the road as a thing, and certainly the first time around Europe. So we've basically been playing to completely new fans, especially as a lot of people have come out specifically to see Cynic. So it's like, you've got to kind of break that boundary. The first couple of songs, people are like, yeah, this isn't Cynic, but, you know, what is it? But it's going really well, I think, from that standpoint.
Okay, considering there are probably some people here that don't know a thing about Jim Spanner, you've been around, but quite a long time. You have 2 albums released.
Yeah. Basically, it started as just a solo recording project probably about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was just releasing music for free. There wasn't really any kind of goal or anything. Mm-hmm. And it was only really a couple of years ago that the second full length got signed to Basic Records. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, we kind of tried it out live just as an experiment. So the live stuff is really recent. Mm-hmm. But the actual music, a lot of people have been following it since 2001, I guess, 2002.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, where did you get the name Jim Spanner, and what does it actually mean?
Well, when I first set up my online recording account, I had to choose a name. And I was like 16, 17, so I thought, well, it doesn't matter what I pick. And I was listening to Foo Fighters, Monkey Wrench, Jim Spanner. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But it's taken on a little persona of its own now. It's, you know, it's kind of got an identity, and it kind of fits in with the music in that, you know, we don't take ourselves like deadly seriously. We have a lot of fun on stage. There's a man pissing against that wall. We have a lot of fun on stage. You know, it's happy music. It's just fun. The name is a name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you recorded 2 albums, right? I would like to ask you which topics did you touch when doing the, because you do an instrumental, which is quite a little bit different.
Yeah, that's,
without lyrics and everything.
It's kind of the full length, the last full length that we did at the Dream's Edge. Mm-hmm. Was very kind of sci-fi influenced. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of sort of topics, kind of, you know, very spacey, futuristic-y sort of stuff, and like intergalactic war stuff going on. The newest record that I just finished recording is more kind of about personal stuff. So I kind of tried a bit more of a reflective approach on that, and tried to incorporate some things that I'd been sort of working through on a personal level into the music. But it's still kind of got that same vibe, very spacey, very futuristic.
Do you find it much more challenging to distribute these emotions, these vibes, these thoughts, this provocation perhaps, only through instruments and not also vocals?
I find it easier. Just for me, only because I use a lot of sort of texturing and soundscaping in the back, almost like film score type stuff. So a lot of times there'll be something very subtle under the track that's kind of supposed to set a specific scene or a mood. And a lot of times people will pick up on that. They'll be like, oh man, you know, this made me think of this. I'll be like, that's exactly what it's about. But it's also nice because other people can read into it completely differently. So 2 people can listen to the same song and get completely different vibe from it. And that's cool. You know, it's not me me saying, yeah, this is what this song is about. It's just letting people's imaginations run, mm-hmm. you know, run free, I guess.
Was there any difficulties putting this on stage? I mean, you were probably used doing this in the studio, creating studio, and then you're on the stage.
Yeah, well, the thing is before the year before? I think it was last year. I played a Basic Records 5th birthday party, and that wasn't just the first time playing as Chimp Spanner. That was my first ever live show. So I had no experience of, like, you know, setting things up on stage and doing sound checks and stuff. So it's basically I've learned everything from the ground up. You know, how to deal with sound engineers and schedules and everything. So that's probably been the hardest thing, actually standing there and playing it, you know, and getting over the nerves and stuff. That's just kind of come quite naturally and quite easily. But just learning, you know, stage management and getting on with other bands and in-house crew and stuff, that's really been the most difficult thing. Not difficult, but that's, you know, it's kind of just been a new thing for me, completely new. But it's fun, really fun.
Okay, and how was it to incorporate other people into your music? You got live members?
Yeah,
I guess it's kind of different when you do it by yourself, and then somebody has to portray this emotion that you created.
Yeah, it was kind of hard at first because the temptation is always to kind of be like, no, you know, I play it like this, and try and get them to sound exactly the way I do. But I think what works on stage is that we've all got our own personalities. So Boris, the drummer, is a lot more of a live drummer. He thinks more about the live presentation of it than I ever would. So he does things slightly differently than the recording. And the rhythm guitarist, Jim, has live experience, you know, way before I did. So he's bringing that side of things to it as well. So I kind of just let the guys do what they want to do with it, really, and it works. But yeah, it was kind of scary at first to give over control to other people of the instruments, and, you know.
And how was it to start a cooperation with a label, not just Basic Records, but the label in general? I mean, you did it all by yourself, promoting everything.
Yeah, up until the label signing, you know, it was basically me, my mum and dad, just, you know, making the CDs. When we released it, I was walking down with carrier bags in the snow to the post office every day. You know, it was kind of a very sort of home run operation. And now on the label, you know, I can't just give music away for free. You know, we have to kind of keep things back so that things are kept a surprise. So that's been a bit weird to get used to. But as a label, they're great to work with. You know, they're not this kind of big monolithic label that, you know, big scary contracts and stuff. It's very kind of independent level. Good communication between me and the label. So it's been a really easy transition.
Okay, I would like to ask you, like, a first bigger European tour, and you're out with Cynic. How did that came about?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It was kind of one of these things that was kind of, the idea was floated a few months ago, and it was like, dude, long shot, would you be interested in touring with Cynic? And honestly, I didn't really know that much about them, but when I told people, like, yeah, we might be touring with Cynic, they were like, oh, holy shit, man, that's awesome, that's really cool. And yeah, I mean, having seen them live and, you know, and spent time with them, I couldn't have asked for a better tour. They're an amazing band to tour with. And considering that we only really started playing together as this band in April,
yeah,
it's happened so quick, you know, to kind of just be doing this whole thing and seeing so many places and playing with a world-class band like Cynic. It's just, it's amazing, really cool.
Did it change you in any way also as a musician? Or?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously when you're working in the studio, you've got the luxury of, like, overdubs, and you can stop and fix things. And it's made me have to build my confidence in my playing a lot more. I have to just kind of go with things, and if I mess up or whatever, I have to learn to deal with it. But also playing with Cynic is kind of, it's really making us work harder. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of people that have come here just to see Cynic. So we're having to kind of play that a little bit harder and better to kind of win them over. But it's a great experience, really, really cool.
Okay, your music, some people categorize it as djent, categorize it as progressive metal. Where do you take the inspirations? Because you blend like two very interesting but different worlds with very hard riffing but also very kind of emotional atmospheric soloing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't listen to a lot of metal, really. Mm-hmm. I only got into kind of heavier stuff quite recently, sort of over the last maybe 6 or 7 years or so. Mm-hmm. So most of the influence comes from a lot of sort of fusion and jazz and stuff that I listened to growing up with my parents. Mm-hmm. My parents as well are musicians, so I'm influenced by them. Movies, I take a lot of influence from that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, that was kind of my biggest source of inspiration. But then I kind of started listening to bands like Meshuggah, mm-hmm. Strapping and Lad, bands like that, and I kind of try to smash them together and mm-hmm. and see what would happen. And Chip Spanner happened.
Do you think this scene now in UK is pretty strong with Tesseract, Uneven Structure?
Yeah, like it's that? It's kind of a weird place to be in now, because normally you know, US exports are seen as the hot thing. Mm-hmm. But the UK now is getting a reputation of, like, you know, there's all these techie progressive bands that are coming out of the UK. Mm-hmm. And you've now got American audiences that are saying, you know, bring them over to the States, where traditionally it's always been the other way around, waiting for the big American bands to come over. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely it's kind of made the UK more relevant, I think, in the prog scene. Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Really good thing.
What do you think about the old school or stuff like Muse with prog rock or Porcupine Tree?
Yeah, I love it, man. I mean, I think the thing is, there's a lot of gent fans, if, you know, if they're open-minded enough, will go and explore those other things as well. I kind of think it's like a gateway. It's a trendy thing at the moment, but it's a good opening to other things, and people might want to then explore the more fusion side of it, the more strictly prog side of things. Yeah.
Okay, Chimp Spanner is not actually the only project you're involved with. You have Blessed Inertia.
Yeah, that's me and the other guitarist, Jim. Mm-hmm. We were going to originally do that so I would have something to do some live practice with. Mm-hmm. That was before we kind of, you know, had any thoughts to taking Chimp Spanner out on the road. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had chance to do anything with that really for the last year or so, but mm-hmm. it's something that we'd like to do just as a fun side project, really. Uh-huh. Maybe get some guest vocalists involved and mm-hmm. just put something out for people to listen to.
And what is the actual difference between Blessed Inertia and Chimp Spanner, if taken by sound or
it's basically, it's not really concept driven at all. It's just, you know, we kind of sat down, started chugging stuff out, and, you know, if it sounds cool, we keep it. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Chimp Spanner stuff is a lot more sort of considered and thought out, and, you know, there's stories behind things. Uh-huh. And everything has to sort of tie in. Uh-huh. So yeah, that's the main difference, really.
Did you ever think about incorporating vocals into Chimp Spanner?
Not really. I mean, listening to Cynic, if I was ever to have vocals, I would want it to be like that. You know, with a lot of emphasis on the clean vocals, and, you know, very sort of distinct lyrics that people can make out. But I'm not sure if that'll ever happen with Chimp Spanner, unless maybe I learn to sing or something. I don't know.
Okay. I also read that your actual business is that you write music for commercials?
Yeah, that's kind of... It's something that's been, like, kind of circulated as what I do, but it's actually what I'd like to do. I mean, I've done a couple of assignments. One of them was for, like, a sort of Dolby and Red Bull sponsored motocross advert thing. But it's mainly just been sort of small freelance work. I would like to get into the sort of game and maybe film and TV scoring. That's kind of a long-term ambition.
How does it differ from creating instrumental music with Chimp Spanner?
Not at all. Not at all. Because when I was sort of coming up with the songs for the album, I was kind of writing them to a brief. So I would have an idea in my head, or in the case of, there's a long song in there called Terminus, and that actually kind of started out as a story first, like a sort of sequence of, like, images in my head. And then I structured the three parts of that song around that. So it was almost like somebody gave me a storyboard and said, write music to that. Which is the way I would work if I was doing for games or film, I guess. So it's the same, really.
Do you think it's also easier for you, because you're a quite young person, considering you're 26 years old?
27.
27, sorry.
28 in February.
Okay. And you started right now with the label, and you also starting, well, you actually have a band in the time when people have already used and abused the internet and MP3s and everything. Do you think it's easier for you that you're doing it now and not like 10 years ago and being in shock now with all the down sales and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we had to have done the same thing 10 years ago without the sort of aid of the internet, Facebook, social networking and stuff, not to say that we couldn't have done it, but we would have had to go a different route. So we would probably have spent a few years playing, you know, very small, crappy gigs, and just hoping that, you know, somebody would pick us up. Whereas what we've been able to do with Chimp Spanner is kind of deliver, you know, a ready-made fan base pretty much, and give that to the label and say, look, you know, there's that core of listeners there to work with, and then they've just been able to expand on that in, you know, in ways that we never could on our own. So yeah, it's been easier, but I think there's also the kind of misconception that it happened very quickly, that like you go straight from writing in your bedroom to touring with Cynic. And what a lot of people forget, as obviously as you rightly said, was that it's actually started about 10 years ago, and there was that long period of just doing it because I wanted to do it. You know, I didn't think anything would happen with it. So it still has taken a long time, but when it kind of blew up, it did it very quickly. So
And what are the plans for Chimp Spanner? You will actually officially release the EP not now, but
February 6th, but we're selling the vinyls to people that come to the show so they can get it first. But the next plan really is another full length, and obviously I'm going to be writing that more in mind, you know, with the live stuff more in mind, and try and make it a bit more engaging for us to play, so we're not just having to kind of keep count all the time. So yeah, that's kind of the main thing I want to work on, and obviously we'll probably be looking for more tours, maybe a couple of festival appearances and stuff next year. But it's kind of, I want to keep the balance between having time to write, you know, and really picking the right shows and the right tours, rather than kind of just being out there all the time and kind of getting tired of it and getting bored of the set and bored of the songs and stuff.
So, and the next full length you'll be doing alone, or will you incorporate the other members?
I'm still writing on my own at the moment. Not to say that, you know, it's not something that couldn't change. It's just what I'm used to. But like I was saying earlier, is when we come to represent it live, a lot of times, you know, we might all come up with an idea of something that we could do a bit differently live to make it cooler. And I'd also like to have some more space in the songs so that we can mix things up a bit when we come to play it live and do things differently, you know, each show. So it'll hopefully feel a bit more natural and less like we're just playing, you know, strictly by the CD. So that's another thing I'd like to do for the next album.
Okay, I wish you luck with your future endeavors, and cool. Of course, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, man.
Mešano na žaru. Vsak četrtek zjutraj, razen zadnjega v meseci.
Vaški posebna žej.
Najboljši med sošulci.
Ja, ne veste.
Antiheruji.
Črne ovce.
Slijepi kamermani.
Točni, asisti.
Razihrane nune.
To so zgodbe, ki jih piše življenje.
S velikimi črkami.
Niko, niko.
Kao ja.
Niko, niko.
Kao ja.
Niko, niko.
Kao!